Senator Bert Johnson. Senator, how are you?
I'm doing great. Top of the morning to you, Tony.
Well, we talk about so many things that could be challenges and get folks fired up. One thing that we can talk about that we need to do is to fight cancer. And I know you're pretty happy about the resolution that passed that establishes Cancer Prevention Day. Talk about Senate Bill 104.
Well, I'm very happy about it, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about it. Cancer, as you know, is one of these phenomenons that just touches down in every community. Doesn't matter if you're white or black or affluent or not so affluent, if you're corporate or grassroots, political or not, or religious. It just has come to visit so many people. And I just kind of got, I was a little bewildered at how it's just an accepted part of our community these days. You know, we do the great big rally, the great big march, the Walk for Cancer each year. But more and more people, it's just kind of like a passing discussion where you say, oh, someone has cancer. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, hope they recover. Anyway, so, you know, who's playing on Monday Night Football tonight? It's a little too prevalent to not be acknowledged, at least in my estimation, at the state level. And so we offered a resolution, and I work with a gentleman named Bill Cousins, who's a gigantic cancer advocate. The name Cousins actually is affiliated with the James Cousins, one of the first folks to really run the city of Detroit down here. And Bill has gone all across the country, and so I've partnered with him and some other folks, and we're really working this process. We now have a resolution in place that says February 4 is Cancer Awareness Day, and we're going to hope to bring to bear all of the advocates from around the nation, including, I was getting ready to say, Senator Michelle Obama. Maybe I'm portending her future, but First Lady Michelle Obama. We'll try to get her in here and do some big rallying and that kind of thing.
Now, Michigan has joined Virginia in establishing a Cancer Prevention Day, and that work is being done in all 50 states to really get to this problem. You know, when you start putting numbers, it really kind of hits home. In 2010, approximately 55,660 new cancer cases were diagnosed in the state of Michigan. And by 2011, the American Cancer Society estimates that 1,569,670 cases will be diagnosed across the country. Wow, that's a big number.
Tony, that's a lot of sick people. And I got to tell you, in my research, I found out a lot about the food that we eat, the water that we even drink in some areas of the nation, the environment that we live in, a number of things really making us sick. And, you know, these people a lot are leading mostly healthy lives. Maybe they're not smoking. Maybe they're not drinking. Maybe they're not doing a lot of dangerous behavior that would actually cause them cancer. But there are other causal factors that we just don't know about. And that's the whole point of the awareness factor, to talk about the things that make us sick, to talk about the things that could lead us down that path, and how a lot of those things then become hereditary in nature. And so we've got a lot of work to do to make people aware. But I'm very, very happy about the fact that we have February 4th as an awareness day here in the state of Michigan.
All right. And before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about the emergency manager situation with the city of Detroit. Now,
right.
If I can recall correctly from our last conversation, you're against that.
I am against.
All right. Why?
I'm against it because I believe that a couple of philosophies need to rule the day. I do believe that people in their local communities ought to control their local economy, ought to make all the decisions in their community. Now, that's not to say that if Detroit or anywhere else has a major problem with her finances, that the state shouldn't offer resources to help her with her finances. But the arbitrary coming in and taking over and dismissing elected officials and not allowing people to have a voice in who actually runs their city or their school district in the instance of Public Act 4, I do believe is more dictatorial in nature and not necessarily productive. And I say not productive because I have not seen in one instance, Tony, where across this state, whether it was a school district or municipality taken over by this Public Act 4 or the previous act, Public Act 72, where those managers have been successful in completely turning that economy around and setting it on a course to sustainable solvency. So, you know, I know the state thinks that it means well on this, but the state is doing a lot of times more harm than it is good.
All right, then I would respond, and I feel like I'm well-versed enough to talk about this, someone being from the Detroit area, and we've talked about this before. Look, if you're an outsider looking in, there has been dysfunction and mismanagement there for a long, long time. So why not take the help if it's there to offer to you, especially when you're in a position where you're asking for statewide dollars?
Well, to the extent that, and you use a very good word, and if it were just that, I would absolutely welcome it if it were help. But to the extent that I have to underscore this again, I've not seen one of these situations go proper. I live in the city of Highland Park. Highland Park has been under a manager for the better part of about 10 years, and we're headed right back. And next week, I think you'll see an announcement. But Highland Park, her finances have not gotten better. And the state has to recognize that the bigger overarching issues here are, in spite of the fact that there might be some corrupt officials or some people who are inept, the overarching issue here is that we have lost population. The manufacturing sector has been sucked out of some of these areas, like a Pontiac and Ecorse or River Rouge, and you then see a loss of property tax values and income taxes. And so we have a people problem, having subtracted themselves from the cities. We have a business problem, having subtracted themselves from the cities. The way to fix that, Tony, is like we've always done. It is to invite people in, make them feel welcome, and make them put their businesses and their families here. That cures a lot of the problem, because our problems are financial, more financial in nature than they are about the personality of individuals running these cities or school districts.
I know Highland Park well. I had a grandparent that lived just off of Webb Street, and as a youngster, I used to go down there and play ball. You're telling me that an emergency financial manager has been in place there for a decade, and they still haven't got it in order.
Still haven't gotten it in order, and it's, you know, I have to lend some credence to the fact that when you reduce jobs, when you reduce the manufacturing sector, when all of that stuff that this city was so dependent on, built for 50,000 people, had a customer, had a neighbor, a paying neighbor in Ford and Chrysler, to see those two large companies subtracted from the city, it really did major, I think, irreparable damage to the community. And until and unless there's an opportunity to feed another industry back into the city, then we're going to continue hemorrhaging people. Highland Park's down to about 11,000 people, just as an example of how much it costs to live here. I received last week in the mail a $3,200 water bill, because the paying customers are still footing the bill for paying back a water and sewage bill to the city of Detroit. It kind of underscores the problem that remains in cities like a Highland Park, who has its own water system, but owes exorbitant amounts of money in bills, and that is a dog, a city like this.
Senator Burt Johnson represents the Detroit area. Always enjoy our conversation, Senator. Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you, sir.